Just to the new order of worship. Let me check my mic. Test, 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 test. Test AB team. Test, test. I'm on max, man. Am I doing something wrong? Maybe it could be me. Test, test. Test, test, test. All right. One more time. Test, test. Anything? Is it me? Is it you guys? Is it this thing? Oh, oh, oh. There's a number on it. A2. Test, 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 test. Test, test.
I could just yell. You guys want me to just yell? I could do that.
Test, 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 test. Yeah, I'll just yell. It's okay.
It's all right.
There's so many things sticking on me, I don't even know what to take off.
All right. Let's try that one more time. Good afternoon. Those that don't know me, my name is Gabriel. It is nice to see new faces. Brief introduction. I am one of the pastors of another church in Scarborough. It's a small little church plant. I'm one of the three pastors. The church there is called Beloved Church. And we started off inside a coffee shop, and our group continued to grow. And so we now rent a space in Scarborough. I think maybe 3 months ago, at least, I was invited to come and speak at least 3 months now, half a year ago. Anyways, it's been a long time that I was invited to come and speak at MCLCC, and it's just been a really cool opportunity to speak and worship God with you guys. So I appreciate the opportunity for me to come here, speak to you guys again. If you cannot hear me, you cannot see the message, please change seats. If Pastor Christian has warned you in the past, Aaron, to sit in different locations of the sanctuary, hey, please do so. It'll be a good time just to be together. I like to see you in front, if possible, man. Yeah, Aaron, you want to come to the front? No, too nervous? All right, that's all good, man. Neither way. Today's message is called Faith Crossroads. I had an opportunity to speak at another Chinese church, Cornerstone Alliance, just a few weeks back, and they wanted me to speak to their young adult group, because a lot of young adults, and you guys are experiencing it as well, they're going back to school, they're maybe starting a new co-op like Nora, or maybe they are going to a new grade and meeting new people and even going to a new school. There's lots of new things in their lives. These are crossroads. And so the pastor asked me, Gabe, Pastor Gabriel, can you preach a message telling people and encouraging people how to stay on the narrow path when they meet these crossroads in life? How do they continue to be on fire for God? In my honest message, I started off last time the same way I'm going to start off now. I can't do it. It's impossible. There's no way that I am going to convey a message for you guys that will convince you guys of the importance of your faith. Only God can do that. And what you're requesting is called a process of discipleship. A person that stands in the front is not discipling you. A person that's standing in the front is only sharing with you a message to encourage you, to inspire you, to spur you on, to make something real of your faith. And the question is whether or not you're going to do anything about it. This past week, I also had the opportunity to celebrate my birthday. A lot of people, they laugh. I hear many different ages. I've heard people think that I'm 27, believe it or not, Christian. Yes, I went to a restaurant. They said, you're 27. I said, no, whatever you think is an Asian person, you add 10 years of age. But even so, my math is incorrect. Even if he says I'm 27, I'm not 37. I just turned 41. And to many people, that is actually the halfway point of their life. And it really makes me wonder, wow, one day I'm going to meet Jesus. And he's going to ask me, what did I do with the time that he has given me? What did I do with the time that he has offered me to be here on earth? And a lot of you young people, man, this is an incredible opportunity for your life. You can jump off a chair and not hurt your knees. I see you jump off the chair and I'm hurting my knees. Like as you get older, your body does not have the same strength that it once upon a time had. This is an incredible time to love Jesus and to serve him. Just this morning, I had one of the guys that I've had the privilege of discipling. And he said, Gabe, I'm so tired of trying to, like where I am right now in my life. I don't want to work for my salvation. I want to work from my salvation. And I think a lot of you people here in this room, you are saved, but you don't know what it means to work from your salvation. Perhaps your messages that you still hear or you think about when you talk about the Bible is still how I can live a good life. That God, Jesus came into this world because he tried to change bad people into good people. No, Jesus didn't come to make bad people into good people. Jesus came to make dead people into living people. The question is whether or not you see it that way. That once upon a time you were dead and now you are alive. That you used to be blind and now you see. And the God that you used to ignore, you now love. What are you going to do about it? And you will see it how? When you face these faith crossroads. Crossroads in life will show you where you're going and who you are. What you love and what you cherish. So, my hope today that I can accomplish is that I will throw out a seed. What I believe that God has convicted in me as truth. And my hope is that God would be the one to water this seed. God would be the one to grow this seed. The question is whether or not you're going to let him. Before we continue, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word and to love your people. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just show up and that if you don't, all this is just absolutely pointless. And so God, may you just teach me how to love your people with your word and to not dilute it. But we would contend for our faith and for the authority of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Darien Gap. Some people have heard this on the news. Back in 2025 and prior to 2025, there has been lots of people that have been attempting to migrate from Southern America to Central America. And South America and Central America, they're actually separated by thick rainforests and swamps. And one of this big rainforest, it's called the Darien Gap. And the Darien Gap is actually owned by local gang members. It's owned by the local cartels, the drug cartels. And these are the people that own that rainforest. They know the way to go through it. And what they convey to a lot of people in Southern America is they shared this message. People in Southern America, Colombians, if you cross the rainforest, the Darien Gap, you will experience new life on the other side. The oppression that you're experiencing in Colombia, if you cross the Darien Gap, you will experience new opportunities, a new career, new family, a new start. And a lot of these people, they believe the message. They were told that it will only take a few hours to cross over to the other side. And so what these people did was they packed up their lunch. They packed up their water that would only last for a few hours. And the moment they started their journey, they very quickly realized it was going to take more than a few hours. Sometimes it would take days, and sometimes it would take weeks. And unfortunately, family people died. Partners were raped. Old people didn't make it. And along the path of the Darien Gap, you see skulls and bones and dead bodies all over the place. Families were separated. Why? Dehydration? Food? Perhaps. But I believe that this happens in the church as well. Why do I say that? Because the same thing occurs in the church where people are presented the wrong message. They're presented a simple message that if you believe in Jesus, you will experience new life on the other side. Your life will be perfect. Everything will be good. That you want a career? You want a job? Believe in Jesus. You don't like how your life feels? Just believe in Jesus and everything will be better. Look, when we talk about going out to evangelize, think about it. What would you say to someone? Because if your message of evangelism is, if your life sucks, believe in Jesus and he'll make it good. That is not the message of the gospel. That is not the complete truth. And just like those drug cartels that have lied to these people, gave them a small little fraction of truth, people were met with a lie. That's why a lot of people, when they experience the first thing called a crossroad in their life, the first thing they abandon is their faith. Because they are presented the wrong message. This message that they've been presenting is absence of tension, it's absence of suffering. Just imagine. I don't like the way I look. So then Aaron's brother, Josh, he says, Pastor Gabriel, just get a gym membership. And if you get a gym membership, your life will be better. Everything will be great. Guess what? I have a gym membership. I've had it for the past year and I still don't like the way I look. Why? Because I have to go to the gym. I have to work out. I have to do something with a membership. And it's the same thing with your Christian faith. You can have a gym membership. So what? You go to church, who cares? What are you doing about it? And when we go to the gym, we don't like to go to the gym. Why? Because we feel tension. When before, I don't even go to the gym, I feel tension. I feel tension in my mind. I don't want to go. But a lot of people think that this is what tension feels like. This is what a crossroad feels like. When in reality, this is what it actually looks more like. Going to work is tension. It's a crossroad. Going to university is a crossroad. Moving out is a crossroad. Going to your first co-op position is a crossroad. Dating is a crossroad. Marriage, for those that are dating, is a crossroad. So many Christians have been preached a salvation message, a gospel of justification, a personal salvation, and nothing more. What if I told you that salvation is not just justification alone? That the original context of salvation, see, this is what we evangelize to people, right? Salvation. Go and get salvation. What does that mean? The original word for salvation is actually broken in 3 points. I've said this many times of being here with MCLCC. Salvation, in the original context, is justification. It's sanctification. And it's glorification. 3 parts in the same umbrella, salvation. And so if you are saved, yes, you are justified. But you will experience sanctification and glorification. What does that mean? If you are Christian, if you are a confessing believer, you will encounter sanctification. You will encounter crossroads. And the definition of a crossroad is simply this: a point in your life where you have to make a decision. And when you make a decision in a crossroad, you will experience tension. And tension is oftentimes avoided. It's rarely embraced. And oftentimes, however, actually maybe all the time, it's necessary. Like I mentioned earlier, like going to the gym. Like when you go into the gym, the scientific term that you experience when you're lifting the weights is called tension. And guess what? When you experience tension, muscles grow. Muscles grow when you experience tension. But a lot of times, people don't want to stay. When they experience tension, they want to leave. And this is the type of gospel that a lot of people have been taught. A watered-down gospel that cannot endure life's tensions. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. It's a matter of whether or not they listen to the right one. The gospel changes life. It changed history. It could endure hardship. It could endure tension. By the way, it's always under attention. This is what the scripture says in John chapter 15. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. What does that mean? A lot of the times we try to avoid tension because we hate suffering. See, family, I'm not telling you to love suffering. I'm not telling you to pursue after suffering. See, when Pastor Christian tells Aaron and the other people, the youth, to sit in different locations, a lot of you feel like, oh, this is suffering. No. Hear the heart of his message. There is something good on the other side that he wants you to experience. But the tension that you're experiencing causes you a crossroad. And a lot of us don't want to face it. We want to avoid it because we think it's suffering. And we fail to see that there's something beautiful on the other side. And this is the thing with Christianity. You cannot avoid suffering. You cannot avoid tension. You will suffer. You cannot pretend you will not suffer. Suffering is all around us. Just turn on the news. When I was a young boy, every time I turn, like I go home, my parents would be watching the news. The Chinese news, I forgot what it's called. Omni something. I actually hear the music. Anyways, I'm not even going to try. But suffering is all around us. When you turn on the news, you will hear suffering. And Jesus commands us to do something with the suffering all around us. To go and make a difference. Guess what, family? Some of you might not be evangelists. Some of you might not be called to be missionaries. Some of you may not be called to be pastors. But, that's a huge but, you are all called to make a difference. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you are a confessing, professing Christian, you are called to make a difference with the suffering around the world. And we know we should. But sometimes we just feel like we can't. And that's a legitimate feeling. But sometimes, why does that feeling exist? Because we're just too busy. We're too conflicted. We're too worried. Guess what that's called, family? Tension. And we don't like that feeling. I've shared this story with you when I was younger. My mom. Actually, I won't share that one. I'll share a different one. When I wanted to follow Jesus, because dating was too hard, there was too many sexual temptations, I wanted to really honor God by marrying my now wife. And so when I asked her father, can I marry her? You know what he said? No. Let her finish school first. And you know what I felt in that moment? Tension. And you know what happened? I married her. And it was tension. But it was incredible. Because the first year of our marriage, I went to the hospital. I almost died. I had appendicitis and I waited 5 days before I decided to go to the doctor. And then in my surgery, the doctor, her surgeon actually told me I almost died in my surgery. The next year, my wife, she was diagnosed with health problems. And then in the same year, my mother-in-law, she had breast cancer. Tension. And my father-in-law, after 2 years of being married, going through all the things we went through, you know what he told me? And it doesn't happen all the time. But praise God for the humility of the old. He said, I'm thankful that you married my daughter and you didn't listen to me. Tension, everyone. You will all experience it. And a lot of the times we try to avoid this feeling. And sometimes the way we Christians, you know how we avoid tension? We avoid and we dilute the word of Jesus. Because why? If you really think about it, if you really want to listen to the words of Jesus, like you actually want to listen, it will create tension. Church people, we don't like tension. And a lot of the times we create situations where we could pretend to hear the word of Jesus, but hear it only a teaspoon at a time. Where we hear it on a Sunday. Why? So that it could help us go through the rest of the week with it. Where we hear the word of Jesus and we continue to go back to living the way that we always want to live our lives. Enough of Jesus so that we can live a world of sin. Close to sin. Maybe not sin, but close enough of it so that we can still feel like we can be saved. See, this is the type of Christianity that is in your best interest. It is not in Jesus' interest. It's a type of Christianity that serves only you and not Jesus at all. This type of Christianity does requires no commitment. It will create no transformation. It is all comfort only. See, we bought this narrative. I'm not saying here at MCLCC, but I've heard a lot of Christians that believe this. That Jesus, He died for me. Jesus, He suffered for me. And therefore, if Jesus died for me and He suffered for me, I don't have to die and I don't have to suffer. That is wrong. If they persecuted Him, they will persecute you. There are many passages in the Bible that actually talks about participating in the suffering of Christ. And it's not a burden. It is actually a privilege. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. We just sang the song when Maureen led us through worship. I have seen so many people, Christians, once upon a time professing Christians, who have walked away from the faith the moment they experience trials, tribulations, and tensions in their life. Why? Again, perhaps because they accepted a gospel that is all about them. That they made a Jesus in their own image. They made a Jesus within their own culture. They've made a Jesus that doesn't know anything about endurance and suffering. A Jesus that doesn't know anything about joy when they encounter tension. Look, in Hebrews it says, for the joy that was marked before Him, who? Jesus. He, Jesus, endured the cross. A lot of us will say that passage or even teach that passage or hear about that passage. And we say, what is the joy that Jesus felt before He endured the cross? Well, He thought of me. No. His joy was in obeying the Father. And we have the opportunity to also do the same. And there's joy in obeying. There's joy in participating. See, in John chapter 1, it talks about how Jesus came into the world and the world rejected His message. They rejected Jesus as a whole. But it's confusing. I'm not saying this is MCLCC, but it's confusing when every time I look at the church, they are the main group that rejects Jesus' message that creates tension in their lives.
All right, there you go.
See, if everyone is in agreement with your lifestyle, in your choices, when there's no pressure, there's no tension in the choices that you make, I am not saying you are not a Christian, but I am also not saying you are one either. There might be, I'm just trying to actually highlight that there might be a potential of compromise in your life. See, the world will love their own. The world will also accept their own. The Bible says you are a new creation. You are not a citizen of this world anymore. What does that mean? For those that are baptized, what that means is you have died to the things of this world. You have died to the passions of the flesh. You have died to the aspirations of this world. Everything that this world pursues, guess what? You are pursuing after something else. You are pursuing after honoring Jesus. You are honoring Him with your life. That the hands that used to hurt people, the feet that used to walk into the wrong places, the eyes that used to look at all the wrong things, you now serve Him. That's what it means to be a new citizen. Some of you are probably asking this question or have asked this question. Pastor Gabe, how do I know that I am saved? How do I know that I'm not in the world? You know how ridiculously easy that is to answer? Look, I've demonstrated this to you before. If you have an apple, how do I know it's an apple? You smash it. And then what comes out of the apple? Aaron, what comes out of the apple? Orange juice? No, what? Lionel, tell him, help him out. He doesn't really listen in school. So what comes out when pressure is applied to an apple? Apple juice, thank you, good job. So when you apply pressure to an orange, what comes out of an orange? Grace. Both grace. Say it at the same time if you want. orange juice. So if you apply pressure, tension to a Christian, what comes out? Christ. Christ should come out when you experience tension. And so ask yourself, when you experience tension, crossroads in your life, what is coming out? Who are you? Where are you going? Who are you becoming? Because guess what? We're all becoming someone. We are all pursuing after something. This is why a lot of our kids go to school. To pursue after being an engineer. To pursue after being a lawyer. To pursue after being a doctor or a pharmacist. We're all trying to become something. The question is, are you becoming more like Jesus? And tensions, crossroads will present that to you. Tension, crossroads will show you where you are going. It will show you who you love, what you love, where you're going, what your treasures are. This is what scripture says in John 15. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they will listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. Look, some of you guys may ask yourself this question. Why me? Why do I always have to go through this? Why am I always rejected? Why do I always feel alone? Why do I experience tension, trials, tribulations in my life? You think it's because people don't like you? You think it's because people want to make your life miserable? You think the world revolves around you? Sorry to break this to you. You are not that important. They do this to you because of who is in you. You experience suffering. You experience persecution because Christ is in you. And if He lives in you, the world will not only feel it. The world will see it and they will hate it. And if you continue to radically live a kingdom mindset of loving Jesus with your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you will experience tension. And what does that look like? Is it bringing you to the Colosseum and killing you amongst people? Is it the police coming and arresting you and bringing you to jail? No. Maybe soon. By the way, the government is going right now. A lot of the times, tension is actually experienced passively. Like when you say, young people, listen. When you say this, I'm so busy, I'll skip Bible study today. This is so interesting. Like, we'll skip church the moment we have to study for an exam. We'll skip church anytime when things are busy. You just keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. And guess what? Over time, this tension is no longer tension. It's a choice. Or even this one, I'll stay up a little longer. Maybe 1 hour. 1 hour becomes 2 hours, and then 3 hours. And then you find yourself watching and doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Or maybe this one, I'll serve God when my life is less busy. When I'm not as busy with my life. I hate to tell you this, family. Life is always going to be busy. When you're young, you're focused on graduating. You're trying to do well and you're trying to clean up your house and listen to your parents. When you get old, you have mortgage, you have kids, you have cars, you have work, you have so many things. Our life is always going to get busier. So it's not waiting for a time where you will not be busy. It's choosing to prioritize what matters most. See, Timu says, if you can buy light and put it under your bed for $3.21. But Jesus, He says, don't put your light under a bed. Let your light shine before men. Put it on a lampstand. Put it up in the air so that everyone can see your good deeds. Why? So that they can glorify God. Jesus Himself, He was salt and He was light. And both salt and light, they irritate people. And the two people that Jesus usually irritated, guess what? Is his family, and it's also the church, religious people. Look, for some people, when you irritate your family and your parents, it's because you're a punk. And you probably need to deal with your character and work on it. I'm not talking about your character flaws. I'm talking about being salt and light. Loving Jesus so radically that it irritates people around you. People will notice it. They will not need to question whether or not you love Jesus or not. There's just something different about you and it pisses them off. Do you know this story? The woman that washed Jesus' feet. Remember that one where she brings in perfume, breaks it? An alabaster jar back then was not like this, right? Like where you can open the lid and then spill a little bit at a time. An alabaster jar was one container. If you break it, you have to use it up. And so this woman, this alabaster jar, it was usually an investment. It was kind of like an RRSP, where perhaps her parents died and they had an expensive perfume and gave it to her so that she can live, so that she can make a living, perhaps so that she can survive and make money or buy food on the table. But then when Jesus was at this man's house, it says Simon the leper, who is now a Pharisee. It's very interesting. Leprosy and Pharisees don't usually combine, because Pharisees care a lot about being clean and pure. But a leper, as we all know, is something that's very impure. So I don't know how Simon the leper is now healed. Maybe he encountered Jesus. Maybe Jesus actually conducted a miracle on him. I don't know. The text does not tell us. All we know is Simon, who used to be a leper, invited Jesus to come and eat at his house. And then somehow in the middle of the feast, a woman comes in with an alabaster jar, breaks it, and then anoints Jesus with it. And then guess what happens? Judas, Simon the leper, who is now a Pharisee, and all the Pharisees, what do? They get pissed at her. They get vexed. And they're angry. They say, why would you do that? We could have sold that alabaster jar and made money. Lying. They wouldn't have. But why would they get pissed? Why would they be frustrated? And this is why, in my opinion, it's because they can see the way that she is worshiping Jesus, giving him everything, is reminding them of what they should be doing. That they should have been giving Jesus everything. I used to be a leper, but I'm not now. I should be honoring Jesus with it. But he chooses to be angry. Why? Because we usually get angry at people that live a lifestyle of loving Jesus, because it reminds us of how we're not. This is why being salt and light irritates people. It makes people look at themselves and it challenges them of where they're lacking. Some people believe they can achieve everything in life and still serve Jesus. That they can do everything that they dream of. But you do realize that the more you hold on to one thing, the more you have to let go of something else. This is what a crossroad in life means. That when you choose one way, it means another way has to be abandoned. Jesus himself even said, you cannot serve two masters. You will either love one or hate the other. If you are pursuing after money, I will tell you this right now. Money is a great tool. It's a horrible master. If you are pursuing even marriage, believe it or not, is an incredible tool for ministry. But it is a horrible master when that's all you're pursuing after. School. You will pursue after school. And guess what? When you graduate, you come out broke with no job. It is great to learn. But then, where are you putting your time? This is the time when you are young to love Jesus, to serve him with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I'm not telling you to quit school, family. I'm simply saying, where is your heart? Where is your treasure? Where is your priority? You will see it with crossroads. You will see it with tension. See, some of you have been Christians for so long. All you have been taught about Christianity is deciding between what is good and what is evil. What are good things in your life and what are evil things in your life? Chances are, most of you are not going to be taking fentanyl. Most of you will not be smoking up meth or cocaine. So it's not about evil. As you get older, as you mature in your Christian walk, you will realize that your wrestle is actually not a wrestle between what is good versus evil. It is actually a wrestle between what is good versus what is God. Because it is the good things in your life, if you keep pursuing after, it will distract you from the God things in your life. Some of you don't even know what the difference is. See, all you can think of is bowing down, or not bowing down, to an Old Testament idol, a golden cow. And that's all you can see or think of what it looks like, of what an idol looks like, sorry. This is the modern day golden cow. Money, car, house, popularity, emotional idolatry, if you don't know what that means. Perhaps it's constantly pursuing after a sense of belonging, power, a sense of being loved or comforted. Some people will tell you, this is a blessing. I hate to tell you this, but do you know that Satan can bless you as well? Like, think about it. When Jesus was tempted three times, it's actually four, but three times, after his baptism, what does Satan offer? You see this kingdom? I can give it to you. He's not lying. He is the kingdom. He is the God of this kingdom, of this earth. He has reign over this earth. Those that are studying through the spiritual warfare course, we are in a war, and a lot of us are losing because we don't realize we're in a war. Satan can bless you too. And what is idolatry? It's simply good things given the wrong priority. Let me say that again. Idolatry is simply good things in your life, given the wrong priority in your life. The question is not if you have a golden cow in your life. The question is, what is your golden cow in your life? And this is where it gets difficult, because a lot of the golden cows in your life is not necessarily sinful. See, when you love your idols, and your idol loving overshadows your love for God, that's when the worship becomes illegal. In Matthew 6, as a friendly reminder, it says, your eye is a lamp. If your eye is good, it's healthy, your body will be full of light. But if your eye is not, your body will be full of darkness. What does that mean? Man, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, careful what you look for. Careful for what you lust for. And these things might not necessarily be sinful, but they could be distractive and idols in your life that you pursue that will distract you from God. Some of you are already thinking in your head, Pastor Gabe, but we need money. We need food. We need to live. I know. I have children. I have two. This is what crossroads reveal. This is what it means to grow and to walk in this Christian faith journey. Crossroads will reveal what you prioritize. Jesus, in Luke chapter 17, he reminds us with a woman without a name. He tells us to look into history. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife started to make a life in Sodom and Gomorrah. She had house, she had friends, she had probably her own business and everything. Sodom and Gomorrah was a great place. So when she looked back, what was she looking back on? Her heart was simply divided. And God is reminding us, don't be divided. Therefore what? You will experience tension. Maybe some of you came to Sunday service hoping for an encouraging message. Pastor Gabriel, teach us the 10 steps of how to live a balanced Christian life. Teach me 10 balanced ways of how to go to work or go to school. I hate to say this to you. Balance is the opposite of tension. See, when you listen to Jesus' teachings, I've said this before, he doesn't talk about a balanced life. A balanced life is a life of idolatry. A balanced life is called compromise. And because there is no balance, the word of God will therefore create tension. See, you can't have everything. And that's why crossroads reveal what you think is most important in your life. See, for you to choose number one, therefore number two has to suffer. It makes sense. Again, Jesus never teaches about a balanced life. He taught about tension, two forces applied in two different ways. Wanting different things, needing different things, desiring different things. And the fact that you got to pay rent, you have to go to work, you have to pay for food, finish school. That's what it means to be a Christian. To figure out what it looks like to be in the world but not of the world. It's called tension. What does that statement even mean? Like, what is being in the world but not of the world? What does that statement even mean? Like, worldliness. Worldliness simply means loving the world. And here's the truth. There's a lot of church people that are quote-unquote not living in sin. But they're really worldly. They believe that all their clothes, cars, wealth, house, everything that they have is a blessing. Here's a question I want to ask you. If your blessing justifies you to live worldly, then is it a blessing? Or is it just a whitewashed idol? Crossroads reveal to you your idols. It reveals to you who you love and where you're going. That's why Crossroads creates tension. They expose who you are, what you love. See, that's why I said in the beginning, this message of talking about Faith Crossroads and sending you out to the week where you start school on Tuesday or work on Tuesday, the solution is not telling you to make better decisions. It's to remind you that we're all becoming someone. The question is it Jesus? Look, I'm going to try to demonstrate this to you guys. So earlier today, I had an opportunity to come early. I went into Pastor Christian's room and I found a table that I thought would really be nice to use as a demonstration. And a lot of us, we go to church. We don't like the way we look. Maybe we don't like our lives. We feel maybe inadequate. Maybe we feel lonely. Maybe we feel rejected. And so a lot of times we want to cover up. We don't want people to see that side of us. And so you cover up. And then so your entire life, you build your life just pursuing after things where people can see. This is my university diploma. Actually, I'm lying. This is not mine. This is my wife. She doesn't know I took it. But this is her university diploma. She went to U of T. So you graduated. You got a diploma. Awesome job. But that's not enough. Now you have a family. I got the frame. I forgot to bring the family picture. So I just randomly grabbed a marker. At least this is accurate. I am bald. So this looks like me. But this is a family. So a lot of you pursue after family. To grow a family. To have a family. A family is a great place to pursue and something that you really want to have. It's not enough. This is my company award. So back in 2020, I actually won, what is this even? The largest organizational impact in North America. Great position to have. Great recognition to be given, right? Got an award. I got my career. I got my family. I graduated from school. And suddenly, you experience this thing called tension. Tension is introduced into your life. And then you're like, why is there tension? Maybe there's health problems. Maybe you're not as happy. Can't find a job. You graduated, but now you're broke. And not only are you broke, you don't have a job. So that's tension. Sorry to scare you guys. But you experienced tension. And now your life is a wreck. But what you don't realize a lot of times is this is IKEA. It's cardboard inside. It reveals to you what you're made of. It reveals to you who you are. It reveals to you who you believe. It reveals to you your foundation. It reveals to you what you're made of. I have no idea why there's feedback. You guys able to control that? Or maybe it's up here. So you have no idea that this is what you're made of. And now you see it. And you don't like it. So now you have an option. You can stay this way. Or you start taking your faith seriously. So I went home and I tried building a table with real wood. And guess what? It takes time. It takes time to build. It takes time to actually build you up and actually make it into a table. But this is the craziest thing. Sanctification. It doesn't happen overnight. Sanctification is a process. And man, this is the coolest part. Every artist, anyone that likes to draw, they know that the most beautiful artwork takes the longest time to create. And Christ sees something in us. That there's something beautiful in each one of you. And He takes time to build you up. He spends time to reveal to you, this is what you're made of. I don't want this. Don't give me that garbage. I want you to see how incredible you are. I want to build you up to become more and more like Christ and less of yourself. And it takes time. One nail at a time, one screw at a time. Now it's a table. These things aren't bad. It just can't be your priority. You can pursue after all these things. And tension comes back. I won't go that hard. It's not breaking. It's not breaking. Tension, crossroads. They reveal to you who you are and what you're made of. And I hate to tell you this, but if you really love Jesus, if you really want to honor Him, if there is joy in enduring to the end, you will choose Him at your crossroad. And a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of us, we choose something else because it's easier. It's faster. It makes us look a certain way. But God is building something beautiful in each one of you. And the crossroads you experience in your life, when you go back to school, go back to work, go back to your relationships, it is to reveal to you who you are, what you love, who you love, and who you're becoming. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this opportunity and this time. For us to just have fun and break things. But to also hear Your word and to be encouraged and inspired by it. May You help my family love You. May You help my family grow more like You. And teach me, Christian, and the other leaders in this church to love Your people the way that You are loving them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.